Production support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop and goodsforcooks.com. Online at goodsforcooks.com. Earth Eats is a production of WFIU and Indiana Public Media.
Real food, green living.
Real food, green living.
Earth Eats.
Earth Eats.
Good day. I'm Annie Corrigan. Labor Day weekend means grilling. So we have two meat dishes today, grilled Caribbean chicken and barbecue spare ribs. And our side dish will be crispy eggplant fries. Can't wait. But first, here's Mia Partlow with a look at this week's news.
The aftermath of Hurricane Irene has left growers on the East Coast wondering what is salvageable. Milk suppliers from Vermont and New York have had a breakdown in supply as bridges have been washed out in the flooding. There are reports that tobacco crops are almost completely destroyed in North Carolina. But these farmers have reason to thank their lucky stars. Other weather damage affecting states like Iowa and Texas is much larger, totaling a record $5.2 billion in crop loss. Farmers in the Midwest weren't spared the bad news this week. A study by Iowa State entomologist Aaron Gassman has found that western corn rootworms have developed an immunity to Monsanto's genetically altered corn seeds. The corn plants have been grown with seeds designed to resist the bug by releasing a gene that destroyed the rootworm but was harmless to animals and most other insects. This is the first time a Midwest bug has evolved to resist a genetically altered crop. According to Gassman, these are isolated cases, and it isn't clear how widespread the problem will become. But it is an early warning that, quote, management practices need to change, unquote. And on the bright side, a new report by the Union of Concerned Scientists has confirmed what foodies have known all along. Buying food from farmers markets is a good thing. Specifically, markets help communities by keeping money in the local economy and creating jobs. The report says that modest public support for up to 500 farmers markets each year could create as many as 14,000 jobs over a five-year period, as if you needed another reason to shop at your local market. Get news updates like this all week long by liking us on Facebook and following us on Twitter. Just search for Earth Eats. For Earth Eats, I'm Mia Partlow.
The folks at Harvest Public Media are back this week with part four of their series about local food. Today, they're talking about price. Would you pay more for local food, or would you expect to pay less? Clay Masters reports the answer is often in the geography, basically where and when you shop.
It's Saturday morning in Lincoln, Nebraska. Restaurant owner Kevin Shin is pulling his produce-filled wagon down a brick street through a downtown farmer's market. He plans the day's menu based on what he purchases that morning. Shin's restaurant, Bread and Cup, specializes in locally sourced food.
If given a choice, I will always lean toward the local supplier, even if it's more expensive. I will pay the higher price to get the local product.
More and more restaurants and grocery stores are carrying local products, and the USDA expects consumer demand for locally grown food in the U.S. to rise from an estimated $4 billion in 2002 to as much as $7 billion in 2012. And it really got going in the last 3 to 5 years.
Some of the interest seems to be just since we've had the recession hit.
That's James Quinn, a regional horticultural specialist with the University of Missouri in Columbia. He's talking about people in the local food business.
Which maybe was a little bit of a need-based thing. They didn't have a job, so they thought they'd try out this new business.
A lot of these new farmers are selling their product through farmers markets, where prices are relatively low. But that's not always the case with local food.
Then you go to kind of your urban or upscale markets, and those seem to be at the grocery store price level or higher. So when you almost kind of have to look at an average across those to really get a good perception there. A lot of times the prices are very good, especially at these smaller rural farmers markets.
In other words, depending on where you are, there's sometimes a premium for local food. But as the market expands, many producers are being pressured to make their prices comparable with larger grocery chains. Tom Hoped is vice president of perishables for Des Moines-based grocery store chain Hy-Vee.
It really balances out. The price is really going to be a factor of how good the growing season is for any one of those items. But to put a sign on something, to identify it as locally grown, we still have to be price competitive on that. What the market will bear is how we price our items.
So back to the initial question, will you pay more for local? Let's look at some of the research. In 2009, Rich Pirog was with the Leopold Center for Sustainable Agriculture in Iowa State. He conducted research that found it was cheaper to buy fruits and vegetables locally. But that's not the whole picture. Ask Pirog flat out if it's more expensive as a whole to buy local food, and this is how he responds.
Well, one would have to take a look at the entire market basket. We actually did make an attempt to look at lean ground beef, pork, and eggs that were sold at supermarkets, natural food stores, and butcher shops. But it was very difficult to make the comparison from a research basis because the attributes were never exactly the same.
Consider what you see in your local grocery store. Thousands of options, prices changing daily. I recently stopped at a Hy-Vee on my way home from work. There in the produce department, under fluorescent lights, were two bins of tomatoes. One was Arkansas-grown for $1.98 a pound. The other was Nebraska-grown for $2.48 a pound. Looking online at a local food co-op website, I found tomatoes for $1.92 a pound. What can you take from that? Price varies from place to place, and to save on local food, you're going to have to shop around and know your geography. I'm Clay Masters, Harvest Public Media.
Read more about all sorts of issues surrounding local food on Harvest Public Media's website at harvestpublicmedia.org. Before we fire up the grill today, there's a lot of prep that goes into our two meat dishes. Chef Daniel Orr is getting it all started by making the marinades. Then, in this first recipe, the meat needs to sit overnight.
What I'm doing today is actually spare ribs. So these are from the belly of the pork. And this is from, heritage pork. You can see this compared to other different types of pork, this is fairly meaty and lean. And what I'm going to do is a very simple marinade. Now, what I do is I take a Ziploc bag, and this keeps it really clean, very little mess. Okay, I'm going to put my spare ribs in there. Now, what I've done is I've added a little of my Columbus Cowboy spice rub. But it's basically a chili rub that I add some espresso to. So you can use any of your favorite chili rubs and then add a little bit of ground espresso. And what that does is it gives it kind of a smoky, roasted flavor. And it really permeates the meat. I'm just going to shake that around kind of like a, you know, shake and bake, mama. And I helped. Okay. And then then I'm going to add some of my Big Belly barbecue rub. Never trust a skinny chef. So I added... this would be about three to four portions of spare ribs, depending if you're having it as an appetizer or a main course. I probably added about a half cup of the chili espresso rub and about a cup of the barbecue. Okay, now what I'm going to do is just really rub that around so it coats everything. And then I'll put that in the fridge overnight. Okay, and then the next day, what I do is I take it back to the back of the kitchen. Home, what you could do is you could set up a bamboo steamer. If you know what that is, it's a wok that you put the round bamboos in, and it's what you steam vegetables in, or meat, or dumplings. And so you could use that at home. And then what you're going to do is you're going to steam this for about 90 minutes. And what that does is it allows the meat to get really, really tender without having, let's say, a smoke pit. And also, it's a very healthy way of doing that instead of getting a lot of smoke in it. I'll put this guy in, set it for 90.
That meat, by the way, is from the farm in Morgantown, Indiana, called Kiss My Grass, hormone-free, pasture-raised. We can leave that meat to steam while we prep the next dish, our grilled chicken with chilies, garlic, and lime. This recipe is near and dear to Chef Orr's heart because it comes from the few years of his life when he lived and worked in Anguilla in the Caribbean. We prepared it with him at his home in Columbus, Indiana.
It's interesting, in the Caribbean, they always start any chicken dish recipe by putting the chicken in a bowl and then washing it or rubbing it with lots of lime juice.
You know, I think that it started out as being a way to help preserve the chicken with the acid from the lime, but now it just tastes like the Caribbean whenever you do something like that. So just squeeze plenty of lime juice on it. Okay, and now we're going to add some different other flavors that we think of as Caribbean, some chilies. And this will use some jalapeno, seeds and all. And I'm going to put just a few slivers of our habanero here. Mince that up fine.
But no seeds in sight for this.
No, I didn't. I'm not using the seeds, and I'm not using the white membrane. That's where most of the capsaicin is held, which is the heat of the pepper. But there'll still be a little touch of it. Get a little pizzazz. All right. Now we're going to add a little bit of garlic. And this we can just slice fine. And I'm going to add about 4 cloves of garlic. I like lots of garlic. And some of it will fall off when we can put it on the grill. So, and then we're going to finish up with some nice herbs and spices. I've got a little bit of like a curry powder. This is what I call mellow yellow, which is one of my personal spice blends. And so I'm going to put just maybe a teaspoon for each breast. And I'm also going to add a little bit of cilantro. And this, it's really up to your own taste. If you don't like cilantro, leave it out. If you love Thai basil, throw it in. It's really, you know, to your own taste. You know, we've got some garlic chives here. Those would be really nice in it. We've got some rosemary. I'm just going to throw those leaves in there whole. All right, we're also going to put just a little bit of dried herbs on it. This is my Mediterranean blend, which has some savory and some lavender and thyme and other herbs. We'll just kind of marinate this, kind of massage these herbs and spices into the chicken breast, putting a little bit of olive oil on top. And again, since we're going to grill this, we don't want to have too much oil on it. A little salt, and into the fridge it goes. And then we can let this marinate for about 1.5 to 2 hours. And that will give time for the lime juice to penetrate into the chicken breast. And another thing you could do is just put these all in a Ziploc bag, plastic bag, and then squeeze all the air out of it, and that's going to really kind of push those flavors into the birds.
We'll put that aside as well, and now get to making our side dish. Oh, and by the way, let us know what your tastiest marinade recipe is. What do you like to smother your chicken and ribs with before grilling? Drop us an email, send us recipes, send us photos, or just, you know, tell us a comment. Our email address is eartheats@gmail.com. Eggplants are all over the farmer's market these days. Some folks might not like the slight hint of bitterness in eggplants, but you can solve that by salting it and letting it sit. The moisture will be pulled out. Then rinse it off and pat it dry, and you're good to go. You'll actually hear Chef Orr do just this in our recipe. So now let's go into the kitchen and work with some eggplants.
What we're going to do today is we're going to make some eggplant French fries. So again, like I often say, if there's a vegetable or something that you're afraid to try to make it into something that you really like. And everybody loves French fries. So I've cut these into little thin strips about 1/4 to 1/2 inch thick. All right, now what we're going to do is to degorge them, which means that we're going to salt them. And we're going to let them sit for about 1/2 hour. And what you're going to see, they're going to kind of weep a little bit, and the moisture is going to come out of them. It's going to change their texture a little bit and make them less likely to absorb a lot of grease when you cook them. All right, now we're just going to make the fry batter for them. Okay, so for this, we're going to beat together one nice farm fresh egg. We've got 1/4 cup of milk. We've got a little bit of our Greek seasoning, which has some oregano and sea salt in it. A little bit of garlic powder. And a little bit of smoked paprika. I don't know if you've ever had smoked paprika before.
Oh, I can smell the smokiness.
Yeah, it's really smoky. It comes from Spain. I'm going to add just a little bit of sorghum. Sorghum, that's going to allow them to brown nicely. Anytime you add a pinch of sugar or sweetener to a batter, that's to help it caramelize and brown. Okay, we're going to add our rice flour, and we're going to add a little bit of cornmeal. And you just want it fairly loose so it coats the eggplant well. Okay, we're going to take this back and fry our eggplant fries. And I like to leave that skin on these because you can see it really adds kind of a dramatic
color difference between the golden eggplant and that dark skin. It has a nice texture to it as well. There are other dishes I like to do on the grill, and the grill will give it a smokiness. So you can just do a little bit of olive oil. You put it on the grill and mark it on both sides. You want to cook eggplant until it's soft. So when you touch it, it should be a little bit mushy. It shouldn't be firm at all. If it's firm, it tends to be undercooked, and that's where your bitterness will come. Now, we have the eggplant coming out now. You can always have a little draining station set up. We have a little pie pan here that we have some paper towel in. Anytime you fry something, you always want to salt it right when it comes out of the fryer, because that way the hot oil will make the salt adhere to the fried item. Okay, and when you're preparing this, you're probably going to want to have a dipping sauce. I like to use an aioli. Aioli is a garlic-scented mayonnaise. Make a green goddess dressing. You do a roasted red pepper coulis. And that's all there is to eggplant french fries.
I recommend not telling people that these are eggplant french fries. I'm just watching their eyes get wide when they taste how delicious they are. And your guests won't miss potato fries at all. We've got Eggplant on the Brain on our website with a whole series of eggplant recipes for you to try, along with photos, fun facts, and a conversation with a farmer who grows eggplants. Check it out at eartheats.org. All right, back to the spare ribs. After they soaked in the marinade and were steamed for 90 minutes, the meat should basically be falling off the bones. Then, to get the outside caramelized and crispy, put them either on the grill or under a broiler or in a hot grill pan.
You can see we've got some nice caramelization here. I'm going to put that on the plate. We've got a little bit of our Caribbean slaw, some potato salad, a little bit of avocado. I've taken that sauce out of the bag. And then to decorate it today, we're going to use some star fruit. Are you familiar with star fruit?
I am. Love the stuff.
All right. So it's got a really nice kind of citrusy flavor. It's also called a charambula. And then another thing I like to do with ribs is to put a little bit of toasted coconut on them.
Why with the coconut?
It sticks to the sauce, and then it just is a little crunchiness and kind of a sweet crunchiness on the pork. You can also throw a piece of orange on there. I like to have a little piece of citrus next to my barbecue because you can get the grease off your finger. Also, it's kind of a nice palate cleanser.
Tell me how I would incorporate the avocado when I'm eating this dish.
Well, you could mash that in with your slaw, or just kind of use it as a, depending on how spicy you like your barbecue sauce. If you have a real spicy barbecue sauce, that would be kind of a cleansing, cooling, fatty flavor that would go along with the barbecue. All right, so there we go, and that is our Columbus Cowboy pork barbecue.
Serve those up to your guests along with the fries as the chicken gets cooking on the grill. Back to Columbus, Indiana, on the back deck now, on a beautiful summer afternoon.
All right, so we got our chicken nice and marinated. And I also brought out some heirloom tomatoes. We're going to throw those on the grill, get them a little charred up. Okay, I'm going to kind of shake off the excess marinade. And then we'll put that on the flesh side.
So now tell me the secret of cooking the perfect chicken breast so that it's not dry.
First off, starting with a marinade like we did is really, really important. Then you want to, you don't want to keep flipping it over and back. You know, you want to just basically mark it on both sides and then turn your heat down and cook it slowly so you don't get it burnt. So it takes a little longer, but that's what it takes to make a perfect chicken breast. Okay, and you see some of those peppers and the herbs are falling on the grill, and those are going to smoke and give the chicken a wonderful flavor. We're cooking the skin side first. Marking it, cooking most of the fat out of it, and then we'll turn it over and cook the flesh side.
Talk me through another recipe that you just really treasured when you were in Anguilla.
Well, one of the best things to do was to go down and you get what they call a trunk fish. It has a exoskeleton, so it has a hard shell on the outside, and it's one of those fish that kind of flops around the reef and floats around and has these kind of funny lips, almost like human lips. And they just go down there and they eat off the coral. And what they do is they come back, you throw them right on a barbecue, crack them open, put a little bit of seawater, a little fresh lime juice,
and that's your dinner. That's how you cook
them. Seawater?
Yeah, so that's the salt. You know? Okay. So that is, you know, it's all about simplicity.
Do they have beautiful heirloom tomatoes down there too?
Tomatoes are tough in the Caribbean because it just gets too hot. I mean, usually you would grow your tomatoes around Christmas time. Same thing in Texas. My brother lives down in Texas, and he has tomato plants at Christmas time. And by the time, you know, this time of year, it'd just be too hot in August when we were getting our best tomatoes.
Oh, boy, come Christmas time, if we could have fresh tomatoes, that would be so great.
Well, if we keep global warming going.
We'll be on our way.
Yeah. All right, I'm just going to close this down. We'll let it cook for probably, I would say, another 4 or 5 minutes on the skin side, flip it over, 4 or 5 minutes on the other side, and then turn the heat down and let it cook, and it takes about 25 minutes. A lot of people, if you want to speed it up a little bit, you could toss it in the microwave and par cook your chicken in the microwave, and that way it doesn't take as long on the grill, and you're also sure that it's going to be cooked through. But if you're buying real good, fresh local chicken, you don't need to worry about it. But if you're buying chickens from a big box store or something, it's very important that you cook them all the way through. All right, let's give this a look.
It's looking good, nice and yellow.
Yeah, that's from that mellow yellow spice blend.
Oh, those tomatoes look gorgeous.
These are getting nice popped open. We can move these off to the side. Take a little look here. I've got some little fingerling potatoes I tossed with some little bit of olive oil, salt, and pepper. You can put those on to grill. We're going to turn the heat down now and let it cook for about another 8 to 10 minutes. And then we'll be ready to slice it and serve.
All right. Now seems like a good time to remind you that you can subscribe to the Earth Eats podcast on iTunes and make sure to get a weekly dose of real food and green living sent directly to your computer or portable player. It's worth it, trust me. Find us by searching for Earth Eats.
Okay, you can see the potatoes have started to brown, got some nice little marks on them. Chicken, let's check it out. What I always like to do is to look between the tenderloin and the breast, and it should be cooked through. Okay, we'll arrange some tomatoes here on our service platter. Okay, and we got our potatoes, and now we'll slice up this chicken. And whenever you roast something or grill something, it's best to let it rest a little bit, which means just to take it off the grill and let it sit before you serve it. It's what's called carryover cooking, and that means that exterior of the bird or whatever meat you're cooking is going to be hotter than the interior. So you're allowing that excess heat to penetrate into the meat and to make sure that it's cooked. And if you do that, you'll tend not to have a dry chicken. What happens is people want to have the chicken cooked well done, but it's still cooking from the carryover cooking, so then it dries out. Okay, you hold on to that. I got a real knife.
Oh.
That's not a knife. This is a knife. All right. So we'll slice that. All right. And here, have a little taste of that.
Okay.
Let me know if it's tender and moist.
That is both tender and moist.
And then after you take off the chicken from the grill, the Caribbeans aren't finished with it. Okay. And what they do to finalize it, a little more lime juice. Okay. A little sea salt, and this is a coarse sea salt, so it adds a kind of a saline crunch to the dish. Okay, and then I'm going to add just a little bit of smoked paprika just because I love it. Okay, and that also, it looks nice. You can kind of sprinkle it all over the plate and get the margaritas going. It's time for a Caribbean chicken special.
Yeah, margaritas, great idea. A big thanks to Chef Daniel Orr for doing all the cooking today. You can see photos of the finished dishes and print off the recipes at eartheats.org. Listen to another grilling special in next week's show. For the pescatarians out there, we'll be cooking shrimp and salmon. Thanks to all the folks on the Earth Eats team, Ahabon Binder and Jesse Wallner. Mia Partlow reads news stories written by Liz Leslie and Sarah Gordon. And even more thanks to Donna Vestal of Harvest Public Media. But, of course, the most thanks of all to you for listening. Eat well this week. I'm Annie Corrigan.